Please turn with me in the Word of God to Psalm 34. And as you're turning there, let me thank you for the kind reception I've received already this morning and also for the privilege of bringing God's Word to you. Reading Psalm 34, this is the word of God. Please give it your full attention. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and deliver me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears towards their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And then turning to our text this morning, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Be reading from verse 4 through verse 9. Once more, the word of our God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord, we're so thankful you've given us this day to lay aside our worldly recreations and employments, and to come together as your people to praise your name. How thankful we are for your word. How thankful we are for the gift of your spirit. And how thankful we are for Jesus, that one who is the author and perfecter of our salvation. Oh Lord, may we behold Jesus. May we know that our hope is only in him. We do pray, oh Lord, that you would be with us now. In this we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
these verses that we have just read from Philippians 4 are some of the most beloved verses in all of Paul's letter, and that for good reason. Even with a quick reading, we can see that in view is our relationship with Jesus Christ in verse 4. We are to rejoice in the Lord always. And then in verse 5, we see our relationship to others. Let your reasonableness be made known to all. But this morning, I would like for us to start in verse 6. And we can say that this brings into view our relationship with ourselves. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here are two commands that are so essential to living the Christian life. Two commands that we are to heed. First, that we are not to be anxious about anything. And second, the second command, that in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we're to make our requests known to God. Simple commands, straightforward commands, and yet we so often struggle with both. We're an anxious people. We worry about so many things in this life. On the one hand, we're seemingly always trying to hold on to something. We might be trying to hold on to a life, to a reputation, to what others think about us. There's so many things that we want to hold on to, and we get anxious. On the other hand, we worry about our inability to acquire things, be it money or possessions or security, you name it. I mean, the list is endless. But it's safe to say that we all worry. And it's safe to say that we all share the disruption that worry brings. It disrupts our joy, and it deprives us of peace. So here's this first command from the Apostle Paul, that we're not to be anxious about anything, but we also struggle with the second command, and that is in regard to praying with thanksgiving. And here, a main problem is we don't pray. We don't pray as we should. You know, you first have to pray in order to have prayer with supplication and thanksgiving. But few things have suffered as much in the modern age as prayer. We might be well-intentioned to pray, but before we know it, our head's on the pillow, and we have rarely have prayed. Our days are so busy. And yet, that should be alarming to us, that we don't pray as we should. You know, we can think that we have days that just rush on by. Well, are we the first generation that has busy days? I mean, prayer is essential to the Christian life. At least that's what the Apostle Paul teaches. And that's why, as you go through Paul's letters, he's always encouraging us to pray. He tells the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. He tells the Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer. He urges Timothy to pray regularly for all people. And we could go through his other letters. He urges us to pray because he knows that it brings glory to the living God. But he also urges us to pray because he knows that it is a means of grace, a means by which We cultivate our communion with the living God. You know, prayer is of the utmost importance because we cannot live the Christian life on our own. When you don't pray, that's really what you're declaring. You're saying to the Lord, I don't need you. I can do this of my own strength. When you don't pray, you look inward for guidance. When you don't pray, you're turning your back upon God and His Word. When you don't pray, you're saying you're the one that's in control of all things. But what happens when you do that? What we know from the Bible, from the letters of Paul, and also what we know from church history, from Martin Luther and the Reformation, looking inward only increases frustration and guilt. And what happens? It's the same as when we struggle with that first command of Paul here. It disrupts joy and it deprives us of peace. You see, Paul understands when it comes to living the Christian life, you must look to Christ, that one who has died, more than that, who was raised and is at the right hand of God interceding for us. And a biblical way that you do that is by prayer. But it's not just prayer alone. It is prayer with thanksgiving. In our text in Philippians 4:6, Paul declares, "But do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In Colossians, where he tells them to devote themselves to prayer, do you want to he follows up the very next phrase? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. When he tells Timothy that he wants supplications and prayers to be made for all people, he also adds that he wants him to do that with thanksgiving. Even in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where he commands, pray without ceasing, he immediately adds in the next verse, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, why is he always doing that? And we could have picked more examples from his letters. Why is he always connecting prayer with thanksgiving? Well, he knows, Paul knows for one thing, that thanksgiving keeps our prayers and it keeps our lives from complaint, from being filled with complaint. And that's very evident as we look through this letter to the Philippians. The thanksgiving that pervades this letter. We read from the opening chapter, and you see there, we read how he prays with thanksgiving for the people here. He's thankful throughout this letter, and he's encouraging them to be thankful, and he's encouraging them to be thankful as they pray. And yet, he could have been filled with bitterness and complaint because he's writing this in prison. He's wrongly imprisoned. He's in chains. He hasn't done anything to be in chains. And yet, he's not filled with complaint. He's not filled with anger. He's not filled with bitterness. He's giving praise to God for these brothers and sisters, and he's asking them to give praise to God through prayer with thanksgiving. He tells them, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. And then he declares that he prays for them with joy because of their partnership in the gospel with him from the first day until now. I mean, he's full of joy and he's full of thanksgiving. And that's because he knows he owes everything to the living God. He's thankful that God has saved him from his sin. He's thankful that God, through Jesus Christ, has done that which he could not do himself. And that's why, in the verses that we have read in Philippians chapter 4, that's why he can cry out, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. He knows he owes everything to his God. And that's why he can urge patience with others in Philippians 4:5, where he can say, "Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone." You see, joyful individuals are those who have been saved, redeemed from slavery to sin and self. And that is a prerequisite for being patient, for being reasonable. To put it in the negative, a joyless person is not a gentle person. But according to Paul, the Christian can be reasonable with others, and the Christian can rejoice because the Lord is at hand. Now, when you read that in the Bible, whenever you read the Lord is at hand, it's sobering. Because how can any creature stand in the presence of the living God? We're immediately drawn to Isaiah chapter 6, that glorious chapter. But Paul's declaration here, the Lord is at hand, also expresses something new in the history of redemption. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 6. "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. A new day has dawned with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A new day in which believers can live without anxiety and also welcome his return." It's a new day of confidence. It's a new day of confidence as we come to the Lord with prayer. At least that's what the writer of the Hebrews tells us in his fourth chapter. Hebrews 4:14 declares that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And because he is a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, because he is a high priest who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin, the writer of the Hebrews exclaims, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need." You see, because of the work of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Spirit, it's a new day of salvation. It's a new day of confidence. It's a new day of prayer. As Jesus will tell his disciples, "Ask and will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." It's a new day of prayer because God the Father hears his Son interceding for us. This is what Jesus says in John's Gospel, John 11. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." New day of confidence, a new day of prayer, a new day of thanksgiving. In the words of Peter, "Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." This is what has happened. This is what has happened in history. A new day of salvation, a new day of prayer, a new day of confidence, a new day of thanksgiving, because Jesus Christ has entered into this world, lived a perfect life, died an atoning death, and has been raised from the dead. And being raised from the dead, he has poured out his Spirit upon the church. It is the fulfillment of that great psalm we have read, Psalm 34. The Lord is near. That's what is happening. The Lord is near, and he's near to us who are the brokenhearted. And what do the brokenhearted do? They don't look to themselves for their salvation because they have been crushed. They look only to the Lord. So that's what's going on here with this language in Philippians 4. But Paul also has in view that the return of the Lord is near. He has in view the one outstanding event still remaining in church history. In the words of 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, "We wait for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And in that sense, the return of Jesus is always near. It is always at hand. And as we wait for Jesus to return, we're to pray for his return with thanksgiving in our hearts as he has delivered us from the wrath to come. So, what we have then, verses 4 through 6, Paul declares to the Philippians then, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone." And then he proclaims that the Lord is near, and not to be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication to let your requests be made known to God. Stunning verses. But then note what he adds in verse 7. He follows this up then in verse 7 with the promise, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now, this peace of God, praying with thanksgiving brings peace. But it doesn't create peace. He doesn't have in view some byproduct that is a result of your praying. He has in view you entering into something you already have by grace. It's a matter of you using. It's a matter of you participating in that which you already have in Jesus Christ. You see, in Jesus Christ, you already have peace with God. Now, it's absolutely essential that you pray with thanksgiving. It's absolutely essential that you heed this command. But in regard to what's happening, in regard to making the prayer efficacious, that is only through Jesus Christ. It is only through Jesus Christ in the new day that he brings. For it is Jesus Christ who has entered into heaven itself, where he now appears in the presence of God in our behalf. Friends, in other words, that's why we have peace with God. It's because Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and he has been raised from the dead, and now at the right hand of God the Father, he intercedes for us. And so when we pray with thanksgiving, we pray humbly and we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts, we do so knowing that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, in the language of verse 7, the imagery here is of a garrison. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." What is ours in Christ, then, is this garrison of peace, which has come through the work of Jesus Christ. It guards our hearts and minds. But what is ours in Christ is also a garrison of heaven. Now, why do I say that? Well, notice what is said about this peace. And sometimes we gloss this in the text. We're told that this peace surpasses all understanding. Now, what does Paul mean with that phrase? He means that the peace that we have as believers, this peace cannot be explained away by the wisdom of the world. This peace is beyond human comprehension. This peace is supernatural. This is the peace of heaven. And it stands guard around our hearts and minds in the pilgrimage that is this life. For what is heaven? Heaven is that realm where God, the God of peace, dwells with his people. Verse 9. Heaven is the realm where everyone rejoices always because there is no more sin and there is no more death. Heaven is that realm where everyone is filled with thanksgiving and joy continually because there's no more pain and suffering, the first things having passed away. Heaven is that realm in which there is no anxiety. There's no worry in heaven. Heaven is that realm in which God is all in all. Heaven is that realm of perfect happiness, joy, and thanksgiving. Heaven is that realm of perfect peace. And what the Apostle Paul is declaring to you is that that is your possession now. He has just declared to the Philippians, has he not, at the end of the chapter 3, that their citizenship is in heaven? Listen to him again. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Why should you always be thankful? Why should you always be praying with thanksgiving? It's because through the work of the living God, when you were unworthy, where you were in dead in trespasses and sins, he has sought you out, and through the perfect gift of his Son, the one who was sinless and laid down his life for you, and the gift of the Spirit, he is bringing you to that realm of perfect peace. And he is even putting a garrison around you now unto that day. How can you not be filled with thanksgiving? How can you be indifferent to his commands? How can you not trust in his sovereign promise that he will be with you? This peace, the peace which is surpasses all understanding, the peace which the world cannot understand, this is the peace that is ours in Jesus Christ and is guarding us until the last day, until we will be with our God and we will enjoy fellowship with him forever. Now, one last word about our verses here in Philippians, and perhaps we should have even led with this morning. But verse 2 in chapter 4 reveals to us that Paul is making this appeal to the Philippians because they're having trouble. There are two women that are fighting with one another. So in verse 2, he urges the two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, to live in harmony in the Lord. They're not getting along. They're fighting to the stage that he names them by name. What should these women do? Well, they shouldn't go on treating each other poorly. They shouldn't go on murmuring or complaining about the other person. You know the answer. They should pray. They should pray with thanksgiving. They should pray with thanksgiving for one another. Paul wants them to love each other, and he wants them to show that love by praying with thanksgiving. Or in the words of Philippians chapter 2, to have the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus. For friends, who is the one who always prays for us? It's Jesus Christ. And you know what? As Jesus Christ prays to the Father for us, he does so with thanksgiving. You are the apple of his eye. You are the one that he loves. We're told in John's gospel, he doesn't pray for the world. He prays for you, you who are his bride. Jesus is the one who prays without ceasing. Jesus is the one who gives thanks to his Father for all things. You see, the Apostle Paul truly practiced what he preaches. But the true source of Christian living is found in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is after here in this admonition in Philippians 4, 6. The commands here are unto the end of finding our life hidden in Jesus Christ. The commands here are connected to who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. And now that our life is found in him, how we are to live. We are to, through our prayers, to confess that we cannot save ourselves, that we are sinners deserving of his wrath and curse, but by his mercy and grace, he has saved us. We were crooked. The crooked cannot be made straight, but he has done the impossible, and he's taken us, we who are depraved and crooked, and he has made us straight. He has forgiven our sins, that we might dwell with the holy God for all eternity. It's not that we were a praying people that he rewarded. It was that we were a sinful people that he had mercy upon. It's all of grace. So how can we not be thankful? Not just a certain time in November, not just when we get whatever we want, not just when we're really happy how things are going. How can we not be thankful at all times for what the living God has done for us? Thankfulness is to mark us, for we are new creation in Christ. Thankfulness is to mark us, for we have a heavenly citizenship with Christ now, even as we wait for that citizenship in full. Thankfulness is to mark us that our hearts have been changed. Thankfulness is to mark us that we've entered into this new day of confidence, this new day of salvation, this new day of prayer. Because when we pray with thanksgiving, we are being conformed more and more to our Lord and Savior. When we pray with thanksgiving, confessing our sins and giving him the glory, we are dying more and more to sin and living more and more to righteousness. And I say to you, on the basis of the word of God, that nothing will bring you more joy in this life than doing that. Nothing will bring you more joy in this world than being conformed to your Savior. Nothing will bring you more peace. You were made to commune with the living God. In prayer with thanksgiving is unto that end. And it's all because of Jesus Christ that such blessing is yours. The risen Christ is praying for you right now, even as he is leading us in worship. He is praying right now for you with joy in his heart and thanksgiving to God that you are his. Can you not, from the depths of your heart, pray to him with thanksgiving that he is yours? And trust him in all things, that you might be anxious and for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, isn't that good news? Isn't that very good news for sinners such as you and me? Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you again for the risen Christ who does all things for our salvation and our good. Help us, O Lord, to die to sin and live to righteousness. Let us thankful, O Lord, for your work here at Knox Church. We do pray that you'd be with Pastor Martin. So thankful for his many decades of faithful service here. Encourage him by your word. May we be those, O Lord, that pray for him as he prays for us. We do pray, Lord, that you would empower him as he preaches Christ in him, crucified Lord's Day by Lord's Day. We pray, O Lord, not only for Pastor Martin, but we also pray, Lord, for the elders who rule. Give them wisdom which only comes from above. We pray, O Lord, for the deacons that serve. But we pray not just for our officers, O Lord. We pray for all here. We so do rejoice, O Lord, to hear the young voices and to know that there are those here who are being raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Be with our young children, O Lord, that they would praise you in prayer. Be with our parents, O Lord, that they might give you the praise, and that give our parents strength, O Lord, as they do raise our children in the Lord. We do pray, O Lord, for those of us who are not married, and we do pray for those of us, O Lord, who are here inquiring of the Lord. O Lord, may we look to you in all things. May we know that our hope is found only in you. May we know that our chief end in this life, in the one to come, is to glorify and to joy you. Help us, O Lord, to be a people of your word. Help us, O Lord, to turn to you and to give you the praise. For we know, O Lord, in eternity, that we will praise your name forever, that your praise will forever be on our lips, even as we commune with you in perfect righteousness, holiness, joy, and thanksgiving. We do pray, O Lord, that you would come quickly, for we long for that day. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.